This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and Elvis took the polio vaccine to make it popular, so Mark McGrath, you're up next.
I'm Brandi Posey, and just because it's almost Christmas doesn't think I've stopped looking at the 12-foot skeletons on eBay. Someday, baby.
I'm Tess Barker, and I ordered a bird feeder for the woodpecker who's been frequenting my yard. I really miss getting drunk with my friends.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady, lady to lady.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Feel free to workshop that first joke. I couldn't think of who would be a funny. I went with Fred Durst at first and then Smash Mouth, and then I ended on Mark McGrath.
No, I think Mark McGrath is the move, because it's like, It's got the double M. It's repetitive. You've got like a graph in there. Is really like, that's a funny sound.
Also, like, you have your to brain, think about who he is.
Yeah, your brain doesn't go there first, so that's like a nice little like Easter egg that
that's
you get
good.
Later.
Yeah, you definitely yeah. want Ooh. A joke that makes everyone have to stop and say, "Wait, I don't quite get it. Let me think about who that is." And then... That's good.
Yeah.
Let's bring on our guest. We're so excited to have her. She's a hilarious comic. You've seen her on Crashing on HBO. She did warm up for Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj on Netflix. Joyelle Johnson.
Yay. Thank you for having me, y'all. And I would also like to add, what time in Elvis's career? Because
ooh, that's a good question.
That's because then we go and compare him to a different person.
Yes, that's a good point.
Elvis polio.
I just heard it on the radio because they were talking about how, you know, a lot of people are nervous about getting the vaccine and everything like that. And that, I guess apparently back in the day, Elvis took the polio vaccine to which is just so sad for us that we need, like, that we're like, okay, if my famous person takes it, then I'm, you know, okay with it.
Yeah, I will speak for a portion of the black delegation and say black people do not want to take this vaccine.
Well, historically fair.
Yeah.
I know. I've heard that that's like a big issue, and it makes sense. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I read earlier this year, I read that book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
Yes.
That was such a fascinating book. And
yeah,
I mean,
it's like Henrietta Lacks, Tuskegee experiments, that OBGYN who was just experimenting on black women. So we just be like, all right, if enough white people take it first, we'll see how y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. Not like lining up to be like, okay, government, put something in this and shoot it into me. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's cute that the ex-presidents are like, we're all going to do it together. And I'm like, oh, because we've seen that you guys are getting the same care that we are. So, of course, what you're getting is the same thing that we would be getting. Okay.
Yes. Yes, because when I get sick, you better give me the Obama presidential suite in the hospital. They have a hospital down here in Atlanta that is like one of the biggest baby like delivery areas in almost the world. They deliver the most babies in the world down here. And they have like this presidential suite where like all the famous women get to go to have their babies. So I was like, I want to have a baby like that.
get a foot rub while you get your, you know, have your baby spa treatment.
Yes, have a guest room.
Your baby has a guest room immediately.
Exactly. Yes. Take her away. Take her to the other room alone. No other babies will be in there.
Bring mommy some champagne. I hope that complimentary champagne comes with the presidential birthing suite.
Mm-hmm. You hope
that's what
so,
we always knew about Obama
least.
Was that he demanded that champagne came with every
every birth. I love it. It was 1956 Elvis, so like a young Elvis post World War II.
Okay.
Was he in movies yet?
I think movies had kind of just started for him because that's 56. I'm getting into it.
I'm trying to think who that is. Is this Justin Timberlake?
Right. I was like, is it because who's in the movies and also a singer? My mind is blank. I'm just like,
I don't know.
Justin Timberlake's the last person I would be like, okay, since you did it, I'm going to do it.
Really? Because I will say I don't care for Justin Timberlake historically, but he seems like someone who makes pretty like moderate decisions, like pretty reasonable decisions.
Mm. Jessica Biel is a very reasonable decision.
Yes.
That's a reasonable white woman. I'll tell you that. she don't look like she's swaying me. Either way, I'm cool with it.
Right.
Not a lot of fights. Very mild, like back and forth.
It's like spaghetti and meatballs. It's a lot of discussions.
Sometimes we might switch it up and have a piece of fried chicken. Oh, shit, Justin, you got cornrows for Halloween. Stop it.
Yeah, it's the cul-de-sac of wives. Perfect.
Yeah, I can't really think of who that would be because it would have to be somebody like very... I feel like if Cardi B took it first, then I think she would be the Elvis equivalent.
Right. You can switch the race and the gender of the person as we should.
As we should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Stop exalting white men moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's take our cues from someone else.
Yeah, I mean, of all the, like, Cardi's always really dialed into what's going on with, like, current events and politics. So, yeah, I would trust that, yeah, she's kind of read up on everything.
Mm-hmm. Taylor was just in Cat.
So that's gonna be a no.
If the whole
anyone
cast,
who was in Cats,
cast, got it.
I can't tell you guys how many people I know who have, to disastrous effect, tried to get their husband to watch Cats, and I don't know one friend who it's gone well for.
Can't do that. I won't do that.
Yeah, no. There's so many things that are like fun, bad to watch, but it just grates on, like, it's just too. It's too hard for them.
I watched Emily in Paris, and that will be my Cats.
Yeah. Emily in Paris is quite a Cats indeed. Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. And, like, what my favorite thing about Emily in Paris is, like, first of all, it's complete nonsense, but they're also, it's just, like, how many Paris stereotypes can we shove into this one? It's like, ooh, a baguette. Ooh la la. Like, that's every episode of Emily in Paris.
Can you give me a synopsis of the show? Because just the name alone, I was never going to watch it because that just feels a red flag kind of name.
That is the synopsis. Her name's Emily and she's in Paris. No,
I think she's what is it called? An hors d'oeuvre? Wait, what if
she's like an au pair?
She's an au pair.
An au pair. Oh, okay.
She's not an au pair.
No, she's not an au pair. She has a friend who's an au pair. Oh. And it's a funny note that the friend, every time she meets her, she has two young boys that she babysits, but she always has heels on. And I'm like, bitch, you a goddamn lie. Ain't nobody running around Paris after two goddamn boys and some fucking heels. I was like,
absolutely not.
And there's so many stylish boots that are flat. Like, what is this nonsense? She should be in Yeezys. I would think you'd be in Yeezys before you with some goddamn heels running around cobblestone ass Paris.
No.
That show makes me so mad for the dumbest shit.
It's the dumbest show. So is it advertising or PR she works in? One of those like generic rom-com
something like that.
Jobs.
Yes. Anyway, yes. Her boss is a sexy French boss, and she's trying to get her because she's trying to sleep with her. Like, it's just every stereotype.
Yeah, I didn't think I could care less about seeing an occupation on TV or movies than comedian, but advertising is a whole new level of I don't give a fuck
what
your office is like.
It's really like the Mad Lib job of a main character where they're just like, we gotta give him something.
Adam Sandler's character in Jack and Jill works in advertising, and I remember being so furious at that movie for a number of reasons, being like, why are we in an advertising firm in an Adam Sandler movie?
You would have never gotten the Dunkin' Donuts thing, though, with Al Pacino if he wasn't an advertiser. So
You got to have some product placement.
Oh, you got to. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an easy way to shove that in.
Advertising firm.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone else watched 12 Dates of Christmas on HBO. This was a stupid reality show where they lived in a Christmas castle, and then people would, like, dates would come in, and they whatever. The whole goal was that they would bring someone home for Christmas was, like, the... the last
I like
episode.
It.
HBO?
HBO Max. HBO Max.
I know.
They're getting into it.
I was like, they really fell off after Game of Thrones. Like,
the mighty have fallen.
They're doing whatever they can to keep somebody involved.
But they had a moment where, and maybe they do this on Bachelor, I just haven't watched it forever, but the guy, a guy proposed in the very last episode, and there was just such a long shot of the brand of the ring. Like... It's just like, oh yeah,
like,
there it
Zales,
is.
The idea of rings having brands is also really funny too. Like,
yeah,
oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. What brand was your diamond?
What, I guess it was probably the jeweler, but
the jeweler. Yes.
Yeah, the jeweler.
Well, to your point, in The Bachelor, absolutely. There's a moment where they go visit Neil Lane, who provides yes. all of the jewelry for The Bachelor.
The Oscars.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Ooh. I forgot that there's a guy that they go consult, and he's like, well, I think that Sarah has, you know, a unique personality that needs this or that, right?
I'm surprised
kinda,
he
hasn't. They just pick out the ring.
I'm surprised he hasn't before. Tried to get his own reality show, just like Jewels of Hollywood, and it's like all the people coming in and getting
Ooh,
their ring
I would watch
size.
That.
The crazy things
probably
that happen.
Because he sounds like somebody I'd hang out with, so he's like, I'm not into that. So I'm like, I like you, Neil.
Yeah,
Lane.
Yeah.
Because he could have done that. He could have done that by now.
Absolutely.
Like, nah, yeah. I'm good. He's been approached, I'm sure.
Oh, without
a
doubt.
The options there.
I only watch like a few reality shows, but I watched Real Housewives of Salt Lake City last week, and it does encourage me to be more petty. And I don't know if that's the goal.
That's good.
Reality TV, baby, it's been nothing but good for us as a country.
I need zero encouragement on being more petty. So.
I think so, almost, but like petty in a good way. I think
I'm petty in a great way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like Jarell's pettiness that comes, not even necessarily petty, but just how maybe since I'm a woman, sometimes for me in my head, standing up for myself means petty. So,
right.
Like, oh, yeah. Like they actually said something they didn't like. I should try that sometime.
Yeah, I didn't accept abuse. I'm so petty.
Right. Like that's the level.
That's the tea. Yeah. I'm a human.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. I have feelings. Am I being petty? Thank you.
Just a little bit.
What has anything happened recently that's made you that you kind of realized you were being petty because of the show?
I don't want to get into it.
Oh, no.
Oh, sure, you too.
You too, Jarell.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your pettiness been during a quarantine?
There's
is it still
nothing
quarantine?
To react to. It's hard.
I will say I did have a petty incident that I was a bystander to, but my sister who lives in New York and still lives in New York recently broke up with her boyfriend, oof, who my dad always liked and the rest of our family hated him. And so the boyfriend sent a box of my sister's belongings to our dad in Vegas.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's next level.
And my dad gave it to me. So now this box has gone to 3 different states. And my sister was like, just open it. I just open it. I don't even want to know what's in there. So I, over the phone, am like describing each of these items of their like broken relationship.
To be clear, they both still live in New York.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I got a petty story for your ass then.
Yes.
And this is tea because I've heard it from another person, so this is
ooh,
gossip
yes.
like a motherfucker.
Oh, thank God.
Disclaimer,
We miss gossip so much, so this is exciting. Yes. This is perfect.
So this is why Kate Beckinsale is my favorite white woman.
Okay.
Prelude to a story. So basically, when she was dating like Pete Davidson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before him, she was dating Matt Rife. So she has a type. You know, she likes young white boys, which is cute. Mm-hmm. You better go, girl. Get your shit
and
on.
Matt's a comic, too, right? I don't really
Matt is a comic, too.
Okay.
So I heard from someone that apparently when she broke up with Matt, she sent a box of his shit to his house with Pete. And then apparently some of the shit wasn't even his. So I said, you sent your new nigga to your old nigga's house with a box of some other nigga's shit, bitch. You my goddamn hero. Are you kidding me? She my motherfucking hero.
Wait, so like Pete knew Matt or something, and he just went over there as
whatever. I guess whatever you do as you're told. I guess you do as you're told when you are dating Kate Beckinsale.
That is genius.
Disclaimer, that is straight up gossip. I don't know if that's true, but in my heart, it's true as fuck.
So no, good.
That's a fact now. That's a fact that's as a far fact. As I'm concerned. Yes. That 2020, a that's fact. A fact.
Well, and like what I love about the act of these mailing of things is like this is an hour at least, right? You got to gather
that's a
the
lot
shit.
Of hour, more than an hour because you got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. You got to come back.
This isn't just a subtweet. This is like a whole morning.
You're gathering things. Gathering things takes a while.
I mean, I'm just imagining Kate Beckinsale probably has an assistant who just like has to, every time she breaks up with someone, they're in charge of the box.
The box. Like, let me dial a shit from Amazon, be like, add that to the box. She probably has some headphones. Put some Beats in there.
Yeah, it's also just a good way to like do spring cleaning. You're like, all right, I don't really want, just all the shit that was going to go anymore. To Goodwill can go to Pete Davidson instead or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like at what point do you start the box? And do you start the box as a warning for him at the beginning of the end? Like, I've started a box for you. It can be full or it can be empty.
What kind of box is Kate sending to? Because you know it's probably like a bougie, like velvet fucking.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
it,
you lift the top off.
It's like when Beyonce sends like clothes to someone and it's in that giant thing you have to like unwrap.
Yes, like a wardrobe.
Beyonce sends people a full wardrobe?
Yes, she'll send like a gift or something, and it's a huge, like an actual wardrobe with like dancers that come with it.
Yeah, it looks like one of them, you know, when people send moving boxes and they'll be outside of their houses, it looks like that. Like it looks like one of those boxes. So she'll be like, and it opens up and you're like, it's a closet in there.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know what? I don't even want to be Beyonce. I just want to be friends with Beyonce.
There you go. Oh,
yeah, that sounds, of course. That sounds like enough.
It feels more fun too. Like, you know, you don't have to work out every day if you're
you
not.
You can still eat cheese. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our friends work out every day. Just to
probably.
Yeah,
be
fair.
In the circle.
Just the pressure of it all.
Yeah, yeah, of course. That's so funny.
I would say Ian Carmel always posts about every year how Tom Cruise sends him a cake for Christmas. Like
what?
He's on Tom Cruise's Christmas list apparently, and you just post this picture. I don't know if I've seen the cake, but the box for it, it's just this opulent like gold thing, and it's just like happy holidays from Tom Cruise. So I'm imagining the same level.
I've hung out with a lot of rich people and their boxes are different than ours, so
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I should have assumed
their cakes are different than
ours. I mean, mine is have a bag of repurposed Christmas bags that are going to get used.
Yeah.
They're sending you a tote. A usable tote.
I think my totes, I'm in like the trickle down tote economy because I've got some totes that clearly came from rich people, but I wasn't the first tote owner.
Oh, yeah. There's like a hole and like a stain, but like at some point
it
was
a patina. It's a patina.
Yes.
I feel like totes have their own like trash heap somewhere because there's just so many of them out there.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we were like, oh, bags are bad for the environment. Everyone get totes. So now instead of having bags, we just have too many totes.
Yeah, I got like
I have
50
so many.
Totes.
I do too.
I
you
moved
don't get
with
rid
totes.
Of them.
Yeah. I moved with totes instead of boxes. I literally filled all my tote bags up. And that's better for like because we rented a van and it was much better that's for perfect. The van because the boxes would have been just like limited. But totes you could just put on top of each other. It's just fantastic.
Shove them in there. Yeah, I mean, I remember when boxes? I moved, I remember that's the only time they've ever all been used at once. I remember feeling validated for about that day and a half that they were all being. I was like, this is why I've been collecting them for years.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a hoarder. You're a hoarder.
No. That's the millennial version of the old hoarder show. I'm not a hoarder. You're a hoarder. Just compare our trauma purchases.
I will say I'm impressed with now I have more room because we had a roommate move out. So we have like an extra room in our house. And the justifications I go through to fill the space with things that I don't need is like beautiful. Just like I never needed this before. But now that there's a new corner, it must have something in it. I'm going to be, I've lived in this place for 12 years, so it's going to be a complete nightmare if I ever move out.
Yes. You can't move. You're just going to have to buy the place eventually.
I'm going to have to throw everything out on the, like I'm breaking up with myself, throw it out like on the ground and leave.
Yeah, everything must go.
Joelle, you moved down to Atlanta from New York. Are you like in like a bigger place down there that you're like trying not to buy shit for to go back to New York with, or like.
Yes, I eventually, I would love to come back to New York, but, you know, everybody got to get their shit together because everything's crazy right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
exactly.
I have a 2-bedroom that's like almost double the size of what I was living in Brooklyn, but I'm living with a guy for the first time, a boyfriend. Ooh.
Oh.
So we have a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom, much like that's, you, Brandy. And that's the yeah. key.
It
that's
is
the
key
to love.
I'm so jealous.
We have our old bathrooms and our old closets. And my therapist was like, oh, me and my husband have our own bathrooms and our own closets. She was like, girl, you got, that's it. That's what you need.
It's all you need.
That's all you need. Yeah, we share this office. So it's great.
I love that. Yeah, it's a real game changer when you're just like, oh no, this is my space, and then you can put your book with your facts for your shits over there or
your
whatever
weirdo
the fuck.
Freaking design here. I didn't do this.
Well, but like honestly, kudos to him for like having like a design aesthetic of any kind.
I had to force it. I had to demand it. I was like, this looks like a hostage situation in here. Because for like 3 months, it was just him and the desk. And I was like, we have to put things in here, sir. Like, I can't walk in. I'm sad when I walk in here.
That's how I feel. I mean, like, my house is so small that, like, this is my best place to work, is like this part of my bedroom. But, like, the camera, as you can see, faces back to my husband's closet.
Yeah.
And my place is like too small that I don't even have room to like put up a curtain or anything.
Yeah, totally.
It's embarrassing. I don't know what to do about it except be less poor.
I think it's better though, because I've been doing a lot of Zoom calls lately where people blur out their background and that looks so weird. They look like they're just like floating in this odd nebulous like womb. And I think that's a lot weirder looking. So I think you're okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's also like, what are you hiding? Just show me your house.
Creeps me out.
We're alive. We live.
Yeah.
We have
we're all coming from our houses.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have my regular background on. Like, what? Why won't you show me where you live? Do you have a body behind
you? But your house
like,
looks
what's
cute.
Happening?
I got, like, a view of my husband's golf shirts.
That's true. At least there are hangers in the closet, though.
That's true. I mean,
that is what my guy's closet looks like. Very, very little amount of things. Yes. Small amount of things.
You get this much room.
That's it. And my closet, I have the walk-in closet, so I'm like...
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But girls have more clothes. We have like our dresses and all our shoes and
shoes. So many shoes.
Workout clothes, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been happy to furnish a new apartment. So we got a new couch and all this stuff and a lot of Facebook watch things, you know.
Oh my god. Facebook Marketplace is the most wild west.
Oh, yeah.
You can find some great deals on there, but you also have to go through, like, weird pictures of lasagna that people are like, $5. And you're like, why is this on here?
That's completely unhinged.
No, that's what it is. Seriously, people just post food, and you're like, I don't understand what I'm buying. What is this?
Yeah, our neighborhood Buy Nothing group, we had a real crazy week this week because we had a woman that was like a... she does those like Tupperware parties for sex toys. She is retired from that, so she put up all of her like demo stuff on Buy Nothing Eagle Rock, and it turned into this like 400 person comment thread of people being like, "Are the dildos clean though? I need to know." She's like, "I'm a professional, absolutely."
All questions, all valid questions, and I hope all the ladies, we all have vibrators, right?
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Yes, I'm like, any woman that doesn't have vibrators during quarantine, please.
Yeah,
absolutely. I had to finally I had to get a new one finally for all this because I was like, okay, this is getting a lot more, getting a lot more reps in.
Yeah, I'm saving money on gas, and you know what? I'm going to put that.
Speaking of vibrators, is there anything that speaks more to the difference between like a full and not full battery than a vibrator?
Mine is rechargeable.
Oh, it
is? Yeah, I've got a rechargeable one, too.
Oh, I got mine by accident because I hang out with rich people, and they get a lot of shit that they don't want.
Yes.
So one of my rich friends, somebody like gave her a bag. And she was like, I don't need this. I have like 3 vibrators. And I was like, mine's. And it's waterproof. It has settings. I could plug it in. It's fantastic. But yeah, make sure you get rechargeable batteries if you do not have a rechargeable vibrator.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Words to live by.
I like that rich people have their own level of vibrators too.
Yes. They're even coming better.
Great. Yeah. Yes, I Googled it and it was like over $100. I was like, shit, I wouldn't have, because I had a little rabbit or the bullet. I had the bullet before that, yeah. That like comes free if you get mm-hmm. condoms at Babeland. Like,
yeah.
Here's a free bullet. Yes.
It's fucking beautiful. Oh my god. Yeah, they got their own boxes. They got their own sex toys for their own boxes. It's beautiful.
Hey yo. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
BRB. BRB. Hey, welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Joyelle. What does your shirt say?
It says I'm the weed cousin. and I am. Yeah, one of my cousins gave it to me and she getting on my nerves right now. So I was like, let me remind him why we're cool, even though I don't like you right now.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right? Try not to be too petty, because we petty. But I'm like, okay, we can temper the petty.
Yeah. Well, family petty comes with its own level of like, it's got like a safety net to it, because you're like, well, I'm still going to see you at a funeral someday.
I
so
have
whatever.
To see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's only so far you can go with that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They don't listen, so it doesn't matter. I unfollowed like both two of my cousins during quarantine. I was like, you know what? I don't care. I just don't care.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And I was able to articulate that thought and just be like, I don't have to deal with this right now. Y'all are getting on my nerves, so let's take a break.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly.
It's hard because, like, I miss people so much, but also I feel like this year is just heightening everyone's bullshit so much. It's like I yearn for company, like, from the bottom of my heart. But actual interface, like, dealing with everyone's various neuroses and everyone's various bullshit is so exhausting.
Yeah.
Well, I think to me, it just really, I think we were already dealing with that. But I think it just heightened. Amps up how obvious they are, because we're able to kind of be on our own so much. So like now, I don't know, when I do have to like have social interactions, like it's like 20 times more exhausting, sort of.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Definitely. It's just, I don't know what's going to happen when we get back into real life, but I just know that like making small talk and like seeing someone I don't want to see on like an elevator or something, I don't know how the fuck I'm going to deal with something like that.
Well, it's going to be funny to see the comics that it's just like, yeah, I did not want to talk to you for a year and that was okay.
I was happy with that.
Yeah.
And like, so many people I'm happy I don't have to see right now.
100%.
They kind of outweigh the people I miss, if we're being real.
That's how I feel. Absolutely. I'm just like, I don't want to deal with like this, because you just have to talk to people. You can't turn off your camera and mute yourself when you see someone random at a fucking comedy show.
No, you have to ask how their holidays were. I'm dying. I'm so thirsty for gossip, though. Like, I already liked gossip, and I just
love
to fucking talk
shit with
someone.
I feel like someone needs to get, you know, everyone in a friend group owes a wedding to their friend group at the end of all of this, so we can create some gossip. We need people to get drunk, make some mistakes. Like, let's get it go. Let's tip it off fast.
Yeah,
I will have an open bar at my wedding. That is a promise.
Yes.
Oh, you have to, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Why are you getting married if you
you're not ready to get married if
bar.
You don't?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
you can't have a baby if you can't afford an open bar.
It's like, seriously. If you can't tip when you go out, don't have a wedding. You know, if you can't afford to tip, you can't afford to have a wedding with no open bar.
You're making people come watch you talk about your, like, soulmate. You better give them alcohol.
You better. I'm starting cocktails before the service. Okay?
Oh, yeah. At my wedding?
Tested that,
cocktails on the way in.
Perfect.
A lot of people have complimented me on that. At my wedding, when you showed up, there was someone there handing you a drink.
Yes.
That's the only wedding to go to. I think I ruined someone's marriage because she booked me. She booked me as a comic for her reception, but when I was brand new in comedy.
Oh, no.
So me, and I don't know if you guys know Candace Thompson.
Yeah.
She's my A1 day one. Like, we started comedy together.
That's awesome.
And so I was like, we are a year in comedy. I was like, oh, shit, I got this gig. It pays money, though.
Yeah.
So you, me and Candace, let's do 20 minutes each. 20 minutes each? Oh, brand new?
That's when those things happen, though.
Oh, no. Ooh, man. No, that is when that happens.
We bombed. But here's why, bitch, you ain't have no motherfucking open bar. Mm-hmm. That's why we bombed, because nobody was fucking drunk.
Why would you have money for a comedian but not alcohol?
So whose fault is this really?
Not yours.
Exactly.
Thank God you guys were in that together. That's one of those ones that, like...
That's a memory for the ages. Remember when we ruined that marriage?
Yeah, you just need that one person that you can make eye contact with while the world burns around you, and you're just like, this sucks, but you know it too.
But to be fair, I think you help make that marriage better, because that's exactly what you want happening at your wedding, that you can look back at later and be like, that was hilarious. Like, what were we doing?
And we wasn't ready to be married.
Yeah, yeah. 40 minutes of comedy at a wedding reception.
I mean,
I wore a dress. I wore like a little Betsy Johnson dress, so it's so uncomfortable, and it was like, I bombed. Yeah.
Did you know the couple?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my God.
Right before we're about to perform, Candace turns to me and she goes, Joyelle, we're about to do comedy at a stranger's wedding.
At what point did you know that it was going to be a shit show?
When we walked in and there was no open bar. I was like, ooh, this doesn't bode well. Because the bar wasn't popping. Like, everyone was like uptight. Energy.
And then I'm
sitting at a table with somebody else's family members, like uncles and shit. And if you had the table with the comic, you the wayward family members. So we had a table with the wayward family members.
You need to get some quick dirt and then go up there and expect.
But I was too new of a comic to know.
Of course. Of course. I mean, that's a hard gig, even if you've been doing it for a while. Because everybody.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The whole audience is like, what the fuck is
what,
this?
Why? Why are we?
Who the hell gets comedy at their wedding? Yeah. In
somebody
any form?
Who shouldn't be getting married.
Yeah, there's really no other answer.
Listeners, there's some advice for you. If you or your partner is like, we're going to bring in a comic for the reception, maybe don't say yes quite yet.
Comedy doesn't belong everywhere.
No.
And a wedding is, and there's already like the built-in slot. Like, you know, you have the maid of honor and the...
Yeah, the only people you want to hear trying to do a joke is like, exactly, is those people.
Yeah.
And if you know a comedian, if you're friends with a comedian, I could see them emceeing.
I could
see them moving, you know, the energy, but do not have a stand-up do a set.
No.
Well,
because there's already speeches that we have to sit through. So this is like speeches that aren't even about the people that bought our dinner.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So
you guys just needed to get a Groupon. You didn't need to get married.
No, not at all. So that is on my conscience. So if I don't show up in the good place, I'll be like, you're right. I did ruin that marriage that one time.
Yeah, but you're right. Comedy doesn't belong anywhere. One of my proudest moments in comedy, I think, is like I booked the show out here where there was like an indoor-outdoor festival thing. And it was like an indoor DJ, an outdoor band in another part of the outdoor space. And then there was like live painting happening next to the stage where comedy was going to be. I successfully argued for the cancellation of the comedy show. I was like, nobody wants this. We're all upset. You can't hear us. Nobody is here to watch us. We're just going to go. And to be fair,
what a relief.
They just let me go home.
A better night for everyone.
Absolutely.
A better night for everyone.
Yeah. My husband always makes fun of me because he says I'm like the most impatient person he's ever met. But I'm not. I would argue I'm not necessarily impatient. I just know when to call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's a difference. Sometimes it's good to know when to bone out.
Oh yeah. Once you fine tune that skill, you're like, no, I just know that there's nothing here for me.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
We're outside. There's birds in a fountain. I don't need to do comedy right now.
I definitely bailed out mid-set once a few years ago at a show like that. And I felt really bad about it after, but it was just so bad and pointless. And I was like, you all just want to drink and talk to each other. Why the fuck am I here? I'm going home.
Yes.
That's a closer.
Yes, another thing. New comics that are listening, you know, when we can do comedy again, if that's ever a
thing. New comics exist now, which I don't think they do.
Oh, they do. I had an email
from one in my inbox that I just got looking for advice on how to start comedy right now. Anyway.
I don't know how to do comedy right now. You asking how to start?
I know.
Yeah, you're going to need to wait about 6 months. Maybe figure something else out.
To 2 years.
Seriously, tweet? Tweet, maybe. I don't know.
That's it. That's actually the answer. Tweets.
Yeah.
That's
You're right. I'm going to tell him that.
Yeah, go tweet. Mm-hmm. Workshop your jokes.
Is he a white man, Tess?
Yes.
Don't tell him nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. How dare you ask me for my jewels? You learned the hard way, white man.
Yeah, the way to get ahead is to forward all your booking requests to me. And then eventually you'll get to open for me once. Thank you.
Nothing.
Okay, should we do some of these would you rathers?
Yeah, let's get into
it. Let's do it. There's some really weird ones on here.
Would you rather, 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 would you rather.
Okay, would you rather not be able to smell or not be able to taste?
Oh, COVID edition.
Yeah.
Yes. I already can't smell or really taste, so.
Really?
Yeah, I have the sinuses of a terribly sinused human being, so.
So do you...
Whenever everybody was like, COVID, no smell, no taste, I was like, welcome to my world, fuckers.
Whoa, interesting. So yeah. What does that mean for you? Like, do you eat like spicy things or anything because of it? Or do you just like, how does that work?
Yeah, I love spicy. Anything, it has to be like super duper extreme for me to smell it. So there's certain smells I don't like. I don't like the Yankee Candle Company. I walk in that place and it clears my sinuses. And I'm like, ugh. Like if people have on perfume, if I can smell your perfume, you have on too much fucking perfume.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Yeah.
If it's pierced my wall, that means you are be able to smell for blocks and that's not cool. I'm like, so yeah, there's certain smells and I'm a texture-based eater. I don't like mushy. I don't like mayonnaise. I don't like anything mayonnaise-based because of the texture. Because I'm not really tasting it unless it's super duper salty, super duper spicy, super duper. Yeah,
that makes sense. I get that. I was thinking about it the other day because I had a craving for chips or something, and I was thinking just about like cavemen and how. Like the audacity to crave texture if you were a kid, you know, because for them it was just like, well, can I put it in my body that will give me sustenance? And I'm like, I want like a crispy, crunchy, salty, you know, we can just like get anything we want.
No. Flavored like pickle.
Yeah.
Yes. Pickle with every meal.
Oh, I love pickles.
So good.
Yeah, I've been watching the show Hot Ones.
Ooh. What's that?
It's that Hot Wing Challenge show.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to do it just because... I'm not going to taste until we get to, like, the end.
Oh,
and
man, you should.
I'll essentially be cheating.
Is that the one that Idris Elba did? And he, like, like, oh, my. He's just, like, very proper the entire time. You could tell he didn't think it was going to fuck with him, but it definitely
Nobody does. It's a fun show. It's one of those fun, like, just in-the-background shows to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like
that.
I'm
very into that.
Halle Berry ate all the wings.
That tracks. Yes. It seems like she should, that she'd be able to.
I don't eat meat, but I feel like if I did, I could be competitive on this show. I love hot stuff.
Oh, they do that. They do buffalo. They do cauliflower. For the people who don't eat meat, they'll do cauliflower or seitan wings.
Because it's just about the delivery system.
Yeah, it's just about the sauce.
It's the sauce. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do have an interest.
Idris Elba, also in Cats. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow, I forgot.
So maybe that Elvis is the Idris Elba, because Idris is a rapper.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I think he is the perfect.
Because I know Elvis was in some shitty-ass movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like the perfect inverse of each other. And honestly, I would trust anything that he did, basically. So...
Well, by that rationale, Brandy, you now have to watch Cats.
That sounds like a threat.
Oh, it felt like a threat. It is. It felt like a threat.
I want to start a game show called You Now Have to Watch Cats. You get sent through like a chute and you just land.
You have to answer certain questions, and if you do not know the answer, you now have to watch Cats. No $1 million for your charity.
No. One of my favorite shows I ever ended was we kept referencing that Adam Sandler Jack and Jill movie in it. And then at the end of the whole show, me and Dave Chow, we were co-hosting it. We just started the movie, Jack and Jill, and just sat there and started watching it. And so the audience eventually had to be like, and like leave. Because we just didn't say anything. We just sat there and let the movie run. It was pretty fun.
I like that.
I love an awkward ending.
I'm pretty into that. I've only seen 3/4 of that movie because that was like the perfect sneak into a theater after another theater movie.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to pay for that garbage.
No, no. Oh, absolutely. Well, also, you guys are taster and smellers. So what's your answer?
Would you rather lose your taste to smell? I think smell because smell. I have a sensitive nose and it's usually a bad thing. Like I get overwhelmed by perfume and stuff like that too. So
I mean, it would be very freeing to like just know that I would never smell a fart again for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like that would just be like, oh, cool.
I mean, obviously I think it would affect me in ways I don't expect, like, you know, your like your partner or things like that, where like that's part of, you know,
your pheromones,
makes you attracted
but mostly
to them.
I just feel like I'm gonna die in a fire. That's mostly what it is. It's not gonna wake my ass up. I'm gonna just be like chilling.
Yeah, exactly. Fair.
Yeah, I think I have to go smell because it seems like that backfires on you more often than taste does. Like if I'm tasting something, I usually put it in my mouth on purpose.
Yeah.
And you can usually look at something and tell if it's not going to taste good.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And like I don't drink or smoke, so food like is a big thing for me. I mean, it's a big thing for everybody, but that like is like, you know, whatever. So to lose that would be...
You can actually taste rough. The things, too, because you aren't smoking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Shit's delicious.
Okay, this is a weird question. I don't know why this is on here, but I'm just going to ask it.
Put it out there.
Would you rather have your grandfather's hair or teeth? I'm sorry.
What a fucking question.
I don't know like why. In a box?
I don't know. It's just all...
I think inherit. I think inherit it.
I think inherit. Physically.
What show was that? You. Did y'all see You?
No, I didn't see that.
What's
the
that?
Stalker
That's about
one?
The creepy, yes, the serial killer dude. And I think the chick found like a box of teeth. Like he had kept people's teeth in a box and she found that shit and started freaking out. But I also know people who have like their loved ones. Like I have, my aunt had dreadlocks. Mm-hmm. And when she passed away, some of her daughters have like a dreadlock. So I could I could see hair. Teeth is serial killer.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird that parents like keep our baby teeth and stuff. Like
Like a braid, maybe. I could see you having a braid or something.
Are people still bronzing baby shoes? Or did that go away? Is that still
I don't
a thing?
Know. The new
I haven't seen it recently.
Yeah.
That was huge. That was a big.
Yeah.
I guess it's good, but you spend so much money on those things.
My mother kept my baby shoe. She didn't bronze the bitch. It's just a baby shoe from 1981.
She still has it?
just the one shoe.
Just one. Fair. That's correct.
Like, I'm not bronzing
They're
it,
so
but I'll
cute.
Keep it. They put those hard ass bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're cuter not bronzed.
Yeah. I think so.
Thank you, Tess.
My grandfather had a toupee, so it would be pretty funny to experience that.
That would be a hilarious keep.
Just a really bad toupee.
Barbara, I just want you to have a toupee in general. I mean,
I know.
Your hair will grow back.
I have fake bangs right here, so I'm pretty close, honestly.
That is a toupee.
I was going to say, why are we... I feel like toupee is like a gendered word. Like, they're wigs, right?
Yeah.
Black women have lace fronts. They have units. Yeah. They call them units.
Oh, there's the whole gamut.
Yeah. Exactly. Just it's okay, fellas. It's okay to wear a wig.
It's also okay to shave your head.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that became, I think that's like just fine now. I think in the last like 20 years,
I love a bald head man. Oh,
yeah.
Idris Elba, Jason Statham. Oh, you can go different races with it. Everyone can look
more face to love.
Yeah.
The only problem is the like rug burn that can happen.
We got to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like all shaving.
Half Asian and they, their shit is like lethal. Like,
yeah, it's sharp. Can get like, that can be painful.
So sharp.
Because that's strong follicles right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Man, okay. I don't remember what my grandfather's teeth look like. Good question.
Also, not good. I probably don't want them. Not great dental care.
No.
Right. And what like, because you know, grandfathers have the low hair. So you just take it like a.
Ew. I'm just picturing like just two a la carte, like in a little jewel box.
Bronzed.
Just like one Homer Simpson hair bronzed.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do. Wait, someone have one. Let's do one more.
Yeah, Tess, you have one more?
Oh, okay. Would you rather go out solo or be the third wheel?
Solo.
Oh, it said go out, I thought it meant like end your life. Okay.
Solo. When I was single, I also hated still hanging out with couples. I hated hanging out with couples just because I would just be jealous. And that's just I'm honest. I was a jealous bitch. I would just be jealous. And especially the couples would be like, kissy, fuck you.
Well, that's just rude, too.
It's rude.
Yeah.
It's rude. Absolutely. What are y'all proving? So, yeah, no, definitely. So, I mean, I was solo for so long. The whole time I was doing comedy, 14 years solo.
I think it's fun to go out by yourself. I mean, obviously, sure, hang out with your friends and couples once in a while, but it's a little, it'd be weird if you were just hanging out with one couple all the time.
Right.
Am I about to be all the time. Yeah. Yeah, like the occasional hang with the right people. Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But solo is always better, I think.
Because then you all get your own thing. I miss going and doing just like, you know, going anything? And doing random shit by myself. Right. Yeah, anything. Anything with anyone.
Yeah, anything. Anything.
Anything with anyone.
Yeah.
That's what we miss.
Oh, yeah. I miss being on tour and not talking to anybody for an entire day until I have to be on stage that night. Like, that's beautiful.
Yeah, just
I used to love actually being in a bar alone. That was always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like quiet bars or a heavy bar with just you by yourself there.
I could do either. I mean, just from doing stand up, I have plenty of times where I would be like waiting for a show to start in kind of like a rowdy bar. But I also like love to just like go. I mean, our friend used to bartend at this wine bar that I would just go like, you know, check in with her periodically, but just bring a book or something. And
but I will say, when I was single going doing those things, I was definitely doing it hoping that I would meet someone. So it was not me being like, I'd love to be alone right now. It was me being like, hello, I'm mysterious and alone.
So. Oh,
come talk to me.
At the bar with
ended
the wine
up badly
glass
most
book.
Of the time, but that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with Lady Problems.
BRB.
Everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Joyelle.
Yes, me.
Hey, you've got lady problems and we've got answers. If you want to send one to us, send them to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Dear Brandy, Babs, and Tess, I need some advice deciding on my next move forward in college, and you gals always seem to have such great advice, so here we go. A little backstory. I'm currently a 20-year-old female going to Portland State University, which is online, obviously. When I was in high school, I made the hardest decision of my life and decided to stay home for college to save money and go to PSU because my family hadn't saved any money for me, and I did not want to go into student debt. For me, this meant I stayed living at home, commuted to downtown Portland every week by transit, and worked two jobs almost every minute I wasn't in class. I was miserable because I felt that even though I made an extremely smart financial decision, I was missing out on all the traditional college experience, and I resented the fact that I felt stunted for still living with my family and being unable to make friends. Then COVID hit in the middle of my freshman year and online school ensued. However, it made me come to love my college experience because I didn't have an overwhelming sense of FOMO because I knew that every college student was having the exact same experience as me. I have become kind of comfortable in my life at the moment in terms of living and school situation. But once we get back to in-person classes, I don't want to go back to my old college life, still unable to make friends living at home and commuting because it ultimately didn't make me happy. And now I'm faced with this fact. I've saved enough money to be able to transfer next year, my junior year, to a college that I actually wanted to attend while maintaining my goal of staying debt-free. But the problem is that I'm afraid that if COVID will still affect the 21-22 school year in a way that it will not be worth transferring schools. Now that money really isn't an issue, I'm concerned about moving out of my parents' house and finally making friends that aren't from high school. If I transfer and I'm still attending online school and there are limited social activities, it's not worth doing because that's exactly my situation now. But COVID might resolve itself enough by my senior year that it would be able to have the perfect college experience my soul craves. Or do I just stay at PSU, maybe move out, and still attempt to make friends? Turning 21 in September, so bars and clubs are a new avenue of socializing that might be my cure when safe to attend. But I really don't know how to make friends outside of school. I don't want to be overdramatic because staying at PSU might not be socially best for me, but it will not kill me. And I have made peace with my choice of living at home and going to PSU, even though it is not what makes me happiest. So to sum up in two concise questions, do I uproot my life and transfer to take the gamble of moving on campus / trying to make friends next year despite COVID maybe affecting my experience, but also maybe getting a rad senior year later? Or do I stay at PSU and again attempt to make friends even though I know it will be hard because biting the bullet for the last 2 years of college is easier, at least on this path that I have all planned out for? Yours truly, trying to make college not suck.
Woo!
It's a lot. But
she just asked us to save the world.
Yeah. What do y'all... We get that every once in a while. And I'm like,
what should I do about COVID, girl? I don't know. I'm not an epidemiologist.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I think my advice would be just to move onto campus at PSU if you can, mm-hmm. because of the fact that you're not taking the risk of having to move out of state. Mm-hmm. But when I was in college, we would see the people who commuted. I had no relationship with anyone that commuted.
Yeah.
They were like foreign. They were foreign people to us. So, and I was at BC, so there was like not a lot of black people. So we would see a black girl on campus. We'd be like, who is that? Oh, she wanted a commuter. She wanted a commuter. We just never, because if you're not living on campus, you don't get to know people the way you would when living on campus. So I would say take the gamble and try to move on campus at PSU and go into debt, girl. It's okay to go into a little bit of college debt. They not harassing you for that. So go into a little bit of college debt. Get some financial aid and move on campus. That's my advice.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think it's living among people when you can might be good.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
I commuted my last 2 years. I commuted to the school I transferred to, and I agree. Like, I was friends with the people in my direct program, but I didn't have the same relationship I had with people that I met when I was living on campus in Boston. Like, it's mostly about the living, less about the school.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, because I felt like college was way more of a social experiment as much as academic. Like, I would say more social for me. You know, acclimating yourself to being away from your parents and the decisions that you would make. Are you going to drink all night before you have an exam the next day and like be trash when you show up? It's like you're an adult now. Your parents aren't going to tell you not to do that. So you have to decide where your blackout level is, you know, things like that.
It's a safe place to learn where your blackout level is.
That's every college student got to learn where their blackout level is.
Totally. I mean, it's about making those mistakes and figuring that shit out. Like, that's such a part of growing up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you said this, like, stated it as, like, should I do what my soul craves? Which I think is always yes. The answer is yes.
Yes.
To that question. The answer is always yes.
Comedians will always tell you yes. So.
Yeah. For better or for worse, I was like, ooh, no, do that one.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Fucking do it. And I think your instinct is right. You're not going to get a do-over of these years.
No.
So I think transfer, get out of there. I mean, yeah. Also, I'm not an epidemiologist, but I am an optimist. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like the shots are going to get distributed. I think it's realistic to think she could at least have one semester of next year, if not both.
Yeah.
I think 2022. We're looking at 2022 to get back to like a normaler.
Right.
A full
normaler. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, well, 2021 might be shot.
Yeah, but she's saying the problem I have is COVID.
She wants to get to fall of 2021. Fall of 2021. Yeah, right.
So yeah, maybe spring of 2022 she will be okay. I mean, obviously,
but even fall starting the new year, so it's like you can move on to campus, get COVID with the rest of the motherfuckers, and just have a COVID pod and be close to home just in case you gotta go home and
I think like that's a good solution for both is you know, mm-hmm. maybe just stick going to the same school so you don't have to deal with all that stuff, but move out of your parents' place. Mm-hmm. I think maybe just think less about like how am I going to make friends and just know that once you put in those steps, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. That's the best part of college is teaming mm-hmm. with friends. Like there's friends everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to make friends. You're going to, I mean, starts with study groups, starts with joining things, join a club, join whatever. You're going to make mm-hmm. friends. Don't worry about that unless like you're a sociopath. I don't know. But even sociopaths have a
you'll
lot
still
of friends.
Make friends.
They're very charming.
They make plenty of friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Very charming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's going to happen. So just and the fact that you want it to happen means it will. So as soon as you start hanging around people, that's going to go down. Just decide where it's best for you to be.
Yeah. And everyone's scared in college. So
yeah,
they're scared now. So.
Absolutely.
And I mean, also, it sounds like based on her financial situation, she's going to be able to dial back the working a little bit, which I think will help. Like it's hard to meet friends when you don't have time to hang out.
Right, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I will say.
Yeah, work study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say, like, if you're really looking to like transform, if you're looking to kind of like break out of the shell of who you are right now, it might help moving to a different place because mm-hmm. once you're not around the same familiar stuff, it helps you, I think, come into your own person. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if that's kind of what you're looking for as well, but that's
also they're in Portland, Oregon or Maine. Portland, Oregon.
I think Oregon. I assumed Oregon.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you gotta move out of there because that's not indicative of anywhere else in the world. I was in Portland. There ain't no black people there.
Yeah, it's a very much it's a little bubble that you need to see other things.
You need to see other things. Portland's not realistic. I loved it. It was great. I felt very safe and high. But get your ass out to see the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And that's a beautiful thing about college is like being able to go somewhere else and knowing that like, okay, there's a finite end date to this. You know,
exactly. It's like, I like an end date. Mm-hmm. I love an end date.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Like in
school, if there wasn't an end date, none of us would have left.
Right.
Yeah, I tried. I stuck around as long as I could. I was like, get the fuck out.
It's like eighth year.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It's fine. Whatever. Yeah, I went to a school in Philadelphia, and our junior year they have like a 6-month internship built in, and I think it's like why I live in LA now is because I was like, well, for 6 months I'll go see if I like it or not, and I knew moving cross country wasn't that scary because I knew I was going home after 6 months to graduate either way. And then so like, but if I just had made that move like after I graduated, I think it would have felt like this huge, completely like unknown thing. So
yeah,
it's like that the safety, that's like the safety of college. It's like gives you like that structure to be able to test stuff out, see what you like, what you don't like and everything.
The transition period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I also think she's really smart to have done her first 2 years at this less mm-hmm. expensive school because I think more people should do that because you're not even getting into your major. Those are just classes you could be taking at a junior college.
Yeah. Core classes.
Mm-hmm. The core classes. Yeah. So, I mean, you did the smart thing. So now, like, treat yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was in school, I met a lot of kids who did like 2 years of boarding school and 2 years of public school. And I gleaned that was like the fun mixture. Like if your parents eventually can afford that, I would want to do that for my kids. Send them to a fancy ass boarding school, but then also send them to a fucking public school and do that shit. So
that's a good mix, I think.
A good mix of discipline mm-hmm. and all right, now we have fun.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that.
But good luck. I mean, it sounds like you. I honestly,
good luck.
Give yourself a pat on the back. You've you're crushing it so far. So I feel like just trust your instincts. And
also, these young people have self-awareness now that, you know, I didn't have when I was that age. Like, oh, do I want to branch out and experience myself, bitch? Fuck you. You all aware?
I know. I'm jealous. Just like, okay, I guess I'm just going to hang out with my same friends but get drunk now because I did it where I grew up. So that was the only change for me, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and like, don't immediately like move and like be afraid that you're like not getting your most bang for your buck or whatever. It's it takes a minute to like settle in. And even just living, even if you guys have to be locked down for like a little bit of living on campus, it's still, you're learning a new thing than
you're
living with
learn
parents.
New people, new things. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got this. It's a new adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is as all the way fun as it's supposed to be right now, but she seems to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you have to.
If you haven't figured that out at this point.
Rude awakening.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know that at this point, I don't know what to tell you, man. Oh, well. Well, let us know where you end up going. And guys.
Good luck.
Hell yeah.
Joy,
and
Joyelle,
where can everyone find you on the internet?
Oh, my God. I mean, I just joined Clubhouse today. Ugh.
Wait, what is that?
Wait, what's Clubhouse?
Oh, no.
Clubhouse is this new app for your iPhone that you can get into room. It's like house party, but no games.
Okay.
And everybody can talk. And it's just, it's a lot. I'm not going to keep doing that. So
Don't find her on Clubhouse.
Yeah, I think I'm mostly on Twitter these days. Joyelle Nicole. Joyelle Nicole, everybody. That's my name.
Hell yeah. Well, go find Joyelle. And
check out her stand-up when we can go back to doing stand-up.
Oh, my God. Right. She talking about college. Bitch, stand-up. Now you tell us what we need to do about stand-up.
Please let us know. We're dying here.
We're like, yeah, exactly. We need advice. Be on stage? I want to be in a filthy bar with a microphone that barely works.
So bad.
Again.
I want to hug an enemy and pretend that I like them when I bring tell them up on stage.
Oh, God. We'll know this is truly over when we can hug an enemy again. Oh. That's the end.
Forget about hugging my loved ones. I need to hug.
We need to hug an enemy. How many enemies did we hug?
Don't worry, guys. We're not getting the vaccine for a while because comedy is not essential.
No.
But I will say this about the vaccine. Because it seems like there's some people who don't want to take it. You should be able to, like, I'll take yours then. You know, like, good. I want to take the mine. Ones from people that don't want to take it.
Take all of it.
Well, you're going to take extra? Is that what you mean?
No, I just need one. But there should be, like, a list of people who don't want it that are, like, up next in line, and they can give it to someone who wants it.
Yes. I want all white women to take the vaccine.
That's it. We're in.
We'll do it. I mean, I think, yes.
We'll take it, and then let you know.
They showed the chick in Tampa. She's a white woman. She's a nurse. I was like, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's not give it to all the frontline workers. Let's give it to half just in case they die. Yeah. We can still have some doctors and nurses.
I mean, I've snorted Adderall. I'll take it. Fuck it. You know what I mean?
Like, I've done Molly. People are like, you did Molly, but you don't want to take the vaccine. The Molly had a reaction, okay?
I mean, also...
Is it going to make me love myself?
I was
going to
say,
body?
If we could combine them, I feel like that would be a great...
I'll take the vaccine. Put a little Molly in the bitch. Put a little Molly in the bitch. I'll take the vaccine.
Yeah. Healthcare workers, if you're listening, this is the way to make it happen. To get everybody to fully take it. Just have
sprinkle,
one giant
just
love
a dab.
Fest. Oh, fucking beautiful. Hell yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're going to head over to our top secret session on patreon.com/ladytolady. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to
to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794, Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.